It is good to be here with you today, and wanted to say how much we enjoyed yesterday with you. That afternoon of fellowship and study was certainly one of blessing that we did enjoy very much. And as Brother Virgil announced, we're going to be looking again at hidden manna. Perhaps we have studied this subject before, and we want to recall to mind some lessons from this subject that are taken from Revelation 2:17. We know that many things are said in the Bible concerning hungering and thirsting after truth and righteousness, and how we have to have a hunger. Matthew 5:6, blessed are they which would do these things, the hungering, the thirsting after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And also in Psalm 29:11, I will give strength to my people, providing everything for us that we need to sustain us spiritually, to help us be strengthened and grow and develop in a way that is indeed pleasing to the Heavenly Father. Also, that we can develop a heart hunger which leads us to seek more of the spiritual types of nourishment that are there in the Scriptures that are laid out for us, that we can feed on these things. To feed on our Lord's words, His hope, divine providence and care, that we also want to commune with Him. And as we are fed and nourished, then we are compelled by this strength to serve Him. And of course, He provides us with many forms of nourishment. He gives us liquids and also solids. The solids, these spiritual foods, which require us to chew them. The chewing, the mental stimulation, investigation, study. That these can be then used properly, digested, and grant this strength to the new creature that is growing and developing within us. We feast on the meat of His Word. Of course, that meat took time to prepare. The lessons, the Gospels, the types, the antitypes, all set out again in the Holy Scriptures that are there for us to look at, to be served unto us, to chew, digest, to gain refreshment from this. And it also leads us to a life of sacrifice, to overcome the world, the resistance to sacrifice that is out there, to overcome the flesh, the old man. So let us each day strive to partake of the spiritual food, the spiritual eating, even as we look toward the temporal provisions and partaking of them, to feed on the solids, the doctrines of the Word, and then the liquids, the praise, the worship, and to do them with thanksgiving, thanking the Heavenly Father for all these things that He has given to us, and also that as we eat, we use utensils, the volumes, the studies in the Scriptures, the helps that we have, that we can then rightly divide the Word of Truth to make a complete meal that would be indeed beneficial to this new creature. And we wanted to look, brethren, today at the subject of hidden manna, something that we are able to partake of, and look back, of course, to the lessons that come from Exodus 16:15, recalling in our studies the nation of Israel, many, many miracles, as we have studied in Orlando lately, have been wrought on behalf of the nation of Israel in their journey through the wilderness, escaping Egyptian bondage. And we know that many of these were wrought because of the murmurings that they did, complaining that they had been brought out of Egypt, away from these flesh pots, where at least they had those, the leeks, the onions, only that they would perish for hunger in the wilderness. And we remember this miracle that was provided for them. We had a discourse a few weeks ago in Orlando that touched on some of these points. The manna that was provided, and everything connected with this provision, indeed points out that it was a grand work on the part of the Heavenly Father, and He has provided many such grand works. Remember that the manna fell early in the morning, gathered up only after this dew had disappeared. The grains were small, white, and they required painstaking labor to gather up. And then after the gathering, they had to be baked, ground up, or then boiled in order to prepare them for use as food. And even the word manna itself refers to what is it? They did not perceive what it was because they had never seen it before. But God instructed Moses, and then he in turn instructed the people, that they were to gather it daily, and it would not spoil if kept overnight. And yet there was a grand provision of God. A double portion fell on the sixth day, and none on the seventh, that they could gather this on the sixth day and carry them through, sustain them on that Sabbath when they weren't able to work. And it would be kept without spoiling. And so it shows us that there is a lesson in this experience of the manna, that it is one that also reflects to us on our spiritual needs. Acts 14:17. God hath promised to feed our hearts with food. And in Psalm 146:7, the Lord giveth food for the hungry. There is a need, then He provides. And He provides it freely. So as He also provides freely for our spiritual needs, which come wholly from above, He grants us experiences in this life which point all toward the heavenlies, toward His dear Son who is now with Him. So the manna in itself would be a symbol of our Heavenly Father, our Lord Jesus, and of the truth. Again, the manna was freely given, but it did require labor to gather it up and then to prepare it and to gain nourishment from it. As it is with our own selves in this life with the truth, we're told, ask and that should be given, seek and ye shall find, in Matthew 7:7. The truth is a gift from God, but only as we would demonstrate the need in our lives, the hunger for it, then again our appreciation for it, for the love, the mercies of God, and all these beautiful things, can we expect to then receive blessings from it? And those thoughts are taken from John 17:17. And neither can now one gather enough in one day, enough to sustain us in the truth for an endless period. We must daily gather these things. We daily go to the throne of heavenly grace. We pray for guidance. Pray for more of the Holy Spirit. We pray for one another. As Brother Bob was saying, we pray and we pray again and again. And we use that wonderful opportunity of prayer. So we daily go to the Lord. We ask. And we receive from Him. We receive strength. Receive encouragement through the Word, that we can daily overcome the trials, the discouragements that are here in this world, in this barren world that we're living in, that we're striving to grow and develop in a way pleasing to God, to make our calling and election sure. But we go to Him. We're not going to gain it the prize of the high calling through service to the world, because we know that the worldly ideas are but the pastimes of an hour that fleet away, are here today, gone tomorrow. But of course, the truth is solid, it's firm, a firm foundation, and it helps us to be sustained daily. So, dear brethren, as the nation of Israel needed to gather the supply of manna daily, or else we know that they would have wanted and they would have starved. So we must daily gather our supply, the supply of spiritual food, or else we would risk dying spiritually. So we want to be obedient to Him, come what may. You know, in the gathering of manna and the preparation of it then, to use it for nourishment, is a good symbol of obedience. Again, from Exodus 16:4. It took obedience to God's word to do these things, to dwell in the light of His blessing, His protection. And again, in our lives, it takes obedience. Obedience in slaying your will to do His will. Obedience in taking up the cross to follow Him. Obedience in searching the Scriptures. And as the manna was found in little particles, so are the gems of truth. We gather a little here, we gather a little there. We search the Scriptures, we harmonize them, and we find that whole plan of God fit beautifully together. And herein lies our spiritual daily supply of food, gathered, and then it gives strength, and we grow stronger each day spiritually and strive to please God more and more each day along spiritual lines. And of course, we are also striving at the same time to walk in the Lord Jesus' footsteps. And if we do these things, work daily to study to show yourselves acceptable, to take advantage of attending the meetings, of praying a prayer for someone on their behalf, all these things are ways of gathering up the supply of manna that nourishes us and helps us to grow spiritually. We have a special type of manna, peculiar sort of manna, a manna yet different from that which we had already considered. The one we had already considered, of course, is Christ the true bread. John 6:32-35. I am that bread that came down from heaven. If a man would eat of this bread, he would have everlasting life, wouldn't die. You know, that's when our Lord Jesus spoke those words, he had already granted, you know, the feeding, the bread to the multitude, looking for their temporal provisions, and he also had that wonderful, perfect wisdom that he used the opportunity to look at their spiritual things that they needed to have, and that is the bread of life that comes down from heaven, that we could feed on Him and have everlasting life. He even quoted that the fathers ate this manna in the wilderness and did not gain everlasting life from it. So there was a new way, a new bread that had to be gathered. And of course, that is feeding on the true bread, the living bread, our Lord Jesus. But then again, there is even more provided in Revelation 2:17. That, again, that we, a little different than that which we have considered. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. Here's he that hath an ear. Now, someone's ear already tuned to God, already knowing of these things that have been provided, what the manna stood for, the Israelites, the bread of heaven that came down. So this is spoken to those that have a spiritual ear. The Holy Spirit has opened up these ears. that this Spirit, the Spirit of God, is saying to those that are more than overcomers that I have a special manna that is here that will be given to you. And of course, this wonderful promise of hidden manna takes us back typically to the tabernacle and God's dealings again with the Israelites. In this Ark of the Testimony, the most holy of the tabernacle, a golden pot of manna. This manna was placed in the golden pot or bowl under the mercy seat, and it was indeed an everlasting memorial to the faithfulness of Jehovah, providing for His people, a reminder of what He did for them there in the wilderness. When they had needs, He provided for their needs, and this was a testimony to that. But unlike the manna that had to be gathered daily, recall that this golden bowl of manna had a strikingly different characteristic. It did not decay. It did not decay as those did back there that they gathered. It was incorruptible. So because it was incorruptible, it provided a very fitting illustration then, or a type of immortality. This incorruptibility which the Lord would provide the royal priesthood. He said again, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. It comes from heaven. Given to him, to every body member that would overcome. And this promise is given that we would be able to eat of this hidden manna only to those who overcome, only to those who hold fast to this faith, to the faith that we have been given and that we are indeed privileged to dwell in. We know that it's so important to have faith, and Titus 2:2 tells us to be sound in faith. Then when you're sound in faith, you can have charity or love and then dwell in peace. Now we can be strong in this faith, and it is indeed a firm foundation of faith that we had. We're told in James 1:3 that the trying of your faith would work for patience. We studied that yesterday. Our Lord wants us to be patient in spirit. Ecclesiastes 7:8. We should be patient in tribulation. Romans 12:12. If we turn to Romans 12:12, we read a little bit out of this chapter. Again, starting with verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, that we can bless them which would persecute us. We bless and we curse not. But we rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. That we could be of the same mind one toward one another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. And turning over to verse 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. This, of course, is a pattern or a blueprint for the Christian to follow in their lives. It's based on faith. It shows us how to deal with the world. Brother Bob was saying earlier, praying a prayer for guidance and direction, but also remembering the world, the groaning human family, with their problems, that we pray for that time to come when that sorrow and sighing shall flee away, and all will know of Him from the least to the greatest. And that, of course, is based on faith. Just to speak those words, we'd have to be deeply rooted in faith and a total trust in the Father, that all things are working out according to His plans and purposes, and nothing will stand in the way of these things being accomplished. So we go on in our lives striving to be faithful, to use faith in our lives. And when we made a consecration to God, we made a contract with Him. And we promised to bring our lives and our hearts into harmony with Him. That we could give up our will to do His will. To be accepted as children of God. And He responded to us by showing us promises according to His Word. He responded by giving us the Holy Spirit. He still responds by granting us that greater measure of the Holy Spirit as we grow and we mature as a Christian, as a footstep follower of Christ. We should have this wonderful faith because it is pleasing to God. And beneath it lies the sureness of His Word, His truth. Again, that firm foundation. It's set on Christ and the apostles. Deeply rooted in us. So this faith is planted in us. We've entered into this contract with Him. It's planted in our heart. And our heart that should then be in full harmony with God. And this then becomes our foundation for joyful hope. And it is an inspiration for us to daily use this great zeal and joy we have in preaching the gospel and laying down our lives in sacrifice daily. And it becomes a much needed anchor for our soul. A faith built upon the Word of God can endure trials and testings and circumstances and even storms. We're all acquainted with storms. And it is a trial of patience to go through. But as we see these storm clouds, what is on the other side of those storm clouds? There's the sun. The sun is up there. You might not have seen it for 4 or 5 days. But of course it's there. And that is a picture of God's love and His faithfulness as a Father. Through the storm clouds, the sun is up there. The warmth, the love, the sun of righteousness. And of course that's a picture for the kingdom also. When the storm clouds depart, the sun of righteousness shines forth. And it warms the people of the world, mankind. And they turn their faces then toward heaven and are having the opportunity to walk up the highway of holiness. So, brethren, let us all in our lives have a firm foundation of faith. And let us want each day to be like our Lord who went that way before, who went on the cross of Calvary, remembering the things that He endured on our behalf, how He was more than an overcomer. And we want to be like Him because we want to be with Him also. And the only way to do that is to share the experiences that He shared. And if we at times then in this life when storm clouds are about us and we complain, we feel weary, we feel discouraged. We just had that good word spoken on. Let us consider the course of the Master and let us study. Let us meditate on His course and see what He overcame. And we consider Him and His words of instruction, His gracious words of encouragement. And of course, this all has to do with that cross bearing. And we can't carry this cross on our own, but with the Lord Jesus' help, we can. This cross of experiences and trials, we undergo them, and it is indeed an evidence of God's love for us because He wants us to be shaped and molded and developed in a way pleasing to Him. And He is always with us during this time. And He also wants us again to remember the example of His Son that was given for us. Bearing His cross faithfully, the ultimate example of faith and trust in Him. He would say, I ask of the Father and He gives it to me. the Father is always with me. No, I am with the Father. The Father is in me. I am with Him. This should be our daily expression also. That we can also look to the Father as our Lord did for help and guidance, for consolation, direction, for love. Because all these things are gifts from God. And all these things are rooted in this firm foundation of faith. So in our lives, we should all be learning and striving to do God's will. Sure, we're tested, and our loyalty will be put to the test. If we say we're loyal to God and we have the truth and we love the truth, it's going to be tested. We have to be tested to our loyalty, our worthiness, if we are to be granted a share in the royal, the heavenly, the beautiful. And it will be put to the test because our trials have to make us stronger in character, as we studied yesterday, and that we patiently endure from Hebrews 6:15, and that we grow each day from them. Tomorrow we're a little bit stronger than we were today, spiritually. Of course, physically we won't be. But we vow to give up this earthly temple and the rights and privileges here on earth. But we will be strong spiritually. And we can do these things if we feed on His Word, we study, and we apply them to our daily lives, the things that we study. And each day as we do these things, we become more willing to suffer for righteousness' sake. And we look to the Heavenly Father for guidance and help. And we look to Him for understanding. And we look to Him for love. And so, this special manna that is granted to us gives to us the Spirit speaking to him that overcometh, will I give to eat of this hidden manna. The hidden manna, of course, is immortality that comes after this life on earth with its experiences, its trials, and testings is over. It is made or given to those who sacrifice their lives in faithfulness to the Lord, the truth, the brethren. And it is a wonderful promise that is made only to the faithful ones, the overcomers, because they have entered into a covenant relationship with Him. They have made that covenant, that contract, that agreement, that vow to walk in the way of faith. And so, are granted an opportunity of partaking of this hidden manna, this immortality, a condition in which life is inherent, life in itself, needing nothing but God there and His love to sustain it. A life on the divine plane with the Lord, to be at His feet, to see the Father face to face, to be able to dwell and see the Creator of all the great universe. Isn't it then plain that this could only be granted to those that who are more than overcomers, who would be faithful not only in little matters, the great things of life, but in little matters, the daily, the everyday living experiences? Do we see God's hand in our lives, matters? Do we praise Him for His help? Do we thank Him each day for calling us out of darkness into this marvelous light? We should be so thankful that we have had our eyes of understanding open, and that He has given us an opportunity to enter into this covenant of sacrifice, and has given us an opportunity to enter into the footstep following of Jesus, and thank Him that we have made a covenant to suffer with Him, that we may also reign with Him, to be with Him in heaven. Of course, we are, remember, at the same time, we are also earthly tabernacles. These earthly vessels here need to be built up daily, to be given strength and grace, that we can fulfill the terms of our covenant that we have made with Him. And also it points to us that we should have a fixed purpose in our lives. That we have a purpose. We are called. And there's this one calling. We are called to glory, honor, and immortality. We are faithful. That's our goal. And this is what we're pointing toward. To be of the royal priesthood, to lay hold upon the precious promise of immortality. And though the adversary is round about us and he wants to ensnare and entrap us, we can be more than overcomers because we are covered with that robe of Christ's righteousness. And we can do His will daily. And we can obtain that prize. We can walk that way. We can be pleasing to Him, come what may. You know, in this Revelation, verse 2:17, there's another reference, and it's a reference to the white stone. I'm sure we've heard a discourse or had a study on that white stone. Just wanted to recall to mind a couple of things from that. You know, the Greeks and the Romans had a custom. A white stone was brought out, and it was a means of noting friendship, of perpetuating friendship through the years. And this stone, it would write their names on it, or even sometimes a special message. But in this case, we're considering the names that are written on it. It would break this stone up in half. Each person would take a piece of the stone. And it would be then a symbol for years to come of this covenant or this special relationship that these individuals had. Sometimes a king would have a special emissary and he would write a message on it or put his name on it, and this person could carry it and he could use it to get favors then in the future, or it would be a way of showing that the king had favor for this person, of getting friendly aid. You know, and even after these parties weren't in the picture anymore, this lasted for years. Family members could even bring out these and show them, and everyone would realize what they were for. And of course, in our lives, there's a precious token of divine love that is given. In that verse, it says a white stone is there, and in that stone, a new name was written. Only the Father would know this, and it would be special for that individual. And that is, of course, the bridegroom's name. It indicates a special acquaintance with the King of Kings, a secret between himself and this individual. We enter into a covenant relationship with Him. We give ourselves to the Lord. It's an individual matter, our consecration. We grow and develop in a way pleasing to Him. This bride class then, of course, is granted a special thing, and that's what we've been referring to, this life in heaven with the Father and the Son. Personal favor of the Lord granted to them. A place of individual and personal friendship we have entered into with the Lord. And it is indeed a wonderful place to be. It is the Holy Spirit which helps to lead us to a complete knowledge of the Heavenly Father, of His plans and purposes that He has so willingly given to us, revealed to us. It is at the place of being at the feet of Jesus. It is immortality, eternal love, eternal life, eternal peace. This wonderful peace of God, which would pass all human understanding. And so in this life, as we have trials and testings and experiences, let us think about the grand things that lie beyond us, which the human mind can't even comprehend. They are so wonderful. And all of us have experienced joy in our lives. But just these are beyond any kind of joy or peace that you have now experienced or will experience as this life continues. So, brethren, to him that overcometh, why give to eat of the hidden manna? That you would run with patience in the way of sacrifice, faithfully, obediently, lovingly, and rejoice in these sweet prospects that await us beyond this life, this grandest prize of all, immortality, meeting the Father and his dear Son face to face. And it awaits each one who measures up to that particular, to him that overcometh, that we can continue in well-doing in our lives, to do all that our hands have to do, to serve him, to come what may. Remember the wonderful example of our Lord's obedience and how he has entered into that heavenly with the Father and has been granted this special provision. And before we close, we just wanted to mention that now, in this time in which we're living, there is another secret place that we've alluded to that we can enter into now that is known only to the Lord and his footstep followers, and that is the place that's mentioned in Psalm 91, verses 1 to 9. This secret place of the Most High, under the shadow of the Almighty, and through our faith and desire to serve him, we have been pointed toward this place. This is the place of intimate communion and fellowship with God. He said, I know my sheep, they hear my voice and obey, and they know me. It's the place of fellowship with God. Communion with him through the privilege of prayer, through the faith of his precious promises, we could enter into a place of rest from the world and its problems. We can gain peace, a tranquility of the mind, a refreshment, a nourishment. The greenest pastures that are ever provided are provided for the true sheep who hear the voice and follow. And we can gain now at this time in which we're living rest and refreshment. No matter what kind of commotion stirring out around about us, we can enter into this rest. We find rest and peace, light and joy that are given from the Heavenly Father. The psalmist wrote, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And though a host would encamp round about me, my heart should not fear. Again, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. When friends forsake me, when problems arise, he is always there. He will not forsake me. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And dear brethren, we hope that these words have provided a source of strength and encouragement and comfort to you. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Mike. Wonderful words of mine. And we will
Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come before thee this morning and thank thee for the many blessings that thy hands bestowed upon us. We thank thee for the gift of the most beloved Son as we realize that through him are all things made possible. And as we come before thee today, we're mindful of our brethren that are absent from this meeting. Remember our brethren the world over who is trying to do thy will. Remember those that are isolated, the lonely brethren that don't have the opportunity to meet together with those of white precious faith. And especially those who are in beds of sickness. Grant them a blessing according to thy will and to their needs. We do love them all. Father, we ask now that thou would bless our fellowship together during this noontime.
Thou wilt uplift us and keep us close to Thee as we desire to walk in Thy Son's footsteps, Thou wilt make. That also we ask a blessing on temporal provisions. May these temporal provisions be guided to the good of our bodies, our bodies to Thy service. And we now commit all Thy care and keeping, asking forgiveness when we fall short. We do pray through the merit and name of Thy dear Son, our Lord Jesus. Amen.